Blog Talk Radio.
All right, Knicks versus Magic post-game. This is the post-game show. We are right now setting up for the YouTube live stream. Shout out to all the listeners out there. Join us on YouTube. Join us on YouTube. Subscribe to the channel, Knicks Fan TV, youtube.com/KnicksFanTV. And, yeah, man, Knicks lose a tough one, 131-117 to the Magic. Knicks drop five straight. The tank rolls on. What are we now? What are we now? 4-13?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Twitter. See what tweets I want to pull up. Okay, how's my camera looking? There we go. Test some screens out. Right, how the screen looks good. Screen, double screen. Double screen. Dave, what's good, Dave? See you online. all right, I think I'm ready, Alan, whenever you are.
I am good to go.
Okay. And I'll take all his player ratings all set up. Mm-hmm. Alright, there we go. Here we go. Alright, 1 second.
Damn it.
All right, you ready?
Yep.
All right, cool. All right, all the screens are ready. Screen's ready. Dave is ready. All right, let's launch up.
All right.
All right, let's make sure my camera's good. All right, 5, 4, 3, 2. Starting up. Post-game live. Sunday edition. Knicks go down in Orlando, 131-117, despite a dominating performance by Trey Burke, a revitalized performance by Enes Kanter. Knicks just couldn't close out. We're going to get into it. We want your takeaways. Give us a call, 657-383-1509. We're going to give you our takeaways. We want to hear from you guys, player ratings, all that. So we're going to get to it right now. Post game live, the Knicks post game show for the fans, by the fans. If this is your first time on the channel and you're a diehard Knicks fan, hit that subscribe button below and the notification bell so you don't miss anything. CP from the Knicks Fan TV, my man Alex Wolf from Posting and Toasting. Sunday usuals, Al. What's going on, man? How you feeling?
Yeah. Hey, this is becoming like a tradition, you know?
Sorry, you're on mute.
Pretty
go
good.
Ahead, man. How you feeling, man?
This is becoming like a tradition, you and me.
Yeah,
on
man.
Sunday nights.
Yeah,
man.
Sunday nights.
It's like appointment. Appointment YouTube here.
Yeah,
appointment
that,
YouTube. Forget Walking Dead. Forget all that.
Forget all that, man. Forget Game of Thrones when it comes back. This is Sunday Night Knicks, man. We got bigger fish to fry over here, man. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But, yeah, always glad to have you, man. Always glad to have you. Shout out everybody watching, wherever you're watching from, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, Posting and Toasting Knicks Film School. Shout out to everybody watching, wherever you're at. Like I said, if you're a diehard Knicks fan who likes to talk Knicks, hit that subscribe button, hit the follow button, and the notification bell so you don't miss any more shows. Once again, Knicks go down 131-117. Before we get into the takeaways, real quick, I just want to share something with the viewers. We partnered up with the Knicks Film School, my guy JB and Jonathan Macri at the Knicks Film School. They're very big on charitable givings. If you came to the Dallas Knicks watch party the other night, we were able to raise about $700 to the Garden of Dreams Foundation. So that was a great night. They wanted to start a Thanksgiving drive with Feeding NYC, which is another charitable organization. The initial goal was to raise $350. We've now raised almost $3,000. As of this morning, this is enough to feed at least 80 families in the New York City area. We are looking to push the bar a little bit more. If you are interested in contributing, I have a link in the video description and also in the comment section. You have until Monday to submit any donation. Anything you have to give, be sure to give, man. It's going to a good cause, and you know, it's going to make sure that other families in the New York City area can enjoy Thanksgiving like we do. You know, there's always somebody less fortunate than us. So this is just a great gesture by the Knicks Film School, and happy to be a part of it as well. All right, so once again, the link is in the YouTube description, and you have until Monday to submit any donations if you're interested in joining the cause. All right, Al. Listen, man. 131-117 loss. Five-game losing streak. You know, the game starts off similar to the last game against the Magic. You think it's going to be another blowout. It was certainly heading that way after the first quarter. We were down by as much as 19. Mm-hmm. Second unit comes in, led by Trey Burke, Enes Kanter. The defensive prowess of Frank Ntilikina, Damian Dotson. That second unit came in and closed the gap. Second half, it just wasn't meant to be, man. I thought Jonathan Isaac and Vucevic kind of killed us out there on the boards, mm-hmm. and we just defensive lapses, too many defensive lapses, and you know. Orlando gets away with another one, man. What were your takeaways from tonight's game?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of what you said, you know, they came out kind of flat against this Orlando team again. And naturally, Orlando had Aaron Gordon this time around, which certainly helped. He killed him in the first quarter.
Killed.
It was like a total annihilation. He just destroyed the Knicks in that first quarter. Mitch Robinson got in foul trouble, which certainly doesn't help your interior defense.
Right.
You know, that's like the one thing that he's got to watch, you know, at this point in his career is he can't get in foul trouble, you know, because he's kind of like their only real rim protector right now.
Yeah.
You know, that's not something that Bobby and Cantor particularly do.
Facts.
Other than that, like, it was just, I don't know. It's just weird that Fizdale keeps preaching about trying to find his perfect starting lineup. And this one has just gotten smacked around the last few games, other than the game against the Pelicans, but like two out of three, they got kind of smacked around. You know, they didn't come out very, very strong. So it's weird. It's like such a weird balance that he's trying to strike right now with these guys. I don't envy him at all. You know, the situation that he's in where you got a bunch of, you know, like Land of Misfit Toys kind of going on, you know, a lot of second draft, you know, former first round pick type dudes.
Yeah.
Some guys that are first rounders that are trying to figure
expiring
this stuff out, like not. Yeah, expiring contracts like Cantor. Cantor's clearly looking out for his, you know, like maybe more so than the team some nights. It's like it's a weird balance that he's got to strike right now. But all in all, like I actually thought he did an okay job with it tonight. You know, it wasn't perfect, but Fizdale, I mean, did an okay job with it tonight. It wasn't perfect. He kind of the rotations were kind of funky right towards the end of the game. But all in all, it seemed like he kind of found some stuff that worked and rolled with it, and it got them within three in that fourth quarter. So that's about all you could ask when they were down 18 to start the game or whatever it was.
Yeah, true indeed. I agree with all your takes. I mean, you know, Fizdale is kind of preaching that. First, he's preaching that defensive culture. Then he's preaching, you know, keep what you kill. Then he's saying, well, you know, everybody needs to be evaluated. So, you know, we're seeing a smorgasbord of lineups. You know, first Frank was at the first Trey was at the helm. Then it was Frank. Now it's Moutier's turn. You know, Trey was the third guard. Moutier was the third guard. Now Frank was the third guard on the point guard depth chart. You know, it's an unenviable position that Fizdale is in. But I continue to say, you know, this is the year to do it. You know, I don't know if it just comes off as an extended training camp, extended preseason to me in terms of, you know, how they're handling these lineups. Obviously, the starting lineup that he's put in, this four-guard lineup that he's put in the last in the last two games, defensively has been our weakest link. So, you know, obviously not having Frank out there and Dotson out there, it hurt us. And obviously you saw their impact on the defensive end immediately. In the second quarter, we were able to cut that lead down quite a bit. So I don't know. I don't know where we go from here in terms of this lineup, you know. But like I said, I don't mind mixing and matching right now at this stage.
I certainly don't mind it either. I just know that he's dealing with all this constant scrutiny from, like, the beat writers and stuff, you know, just for every little thing that he does gets picked to pieces. You know, it's just tough, you know. And what's really tough about it is that you have, like, you have a guy like Burke or even Moutier, who both of them have actually been playing fairly well on offense lately, but you know both of them are kind of defensive liabilities, you know. And then Frank has really, really been struggling on offense lately. Like, he's totally out of rhythm lately for whatever reason. And but he's obviously like a stalwart on defense. You know, he comes in and even if he's not scoring a point, he's doing stuff that's helping the tide turn, you know. So it's like a weird – it's almost like a deceptive, you know, the way that things are going, because you might have someone like Moutier out there who might be scoring more points than Frank, but maybe Frank is actually affecting the game in more of a tangible way, you know, even if he's not putting the ball in the hoop. It's so weird I can imagine from a coaching perspective, it's weird to try to like solve this whole thing of like, well, where can I afford to put a guy in who can't do anything on offense, but it's good on defense. Like, what can I do to offset that? What can I do to offset these guys that are playing well on offense that clearly have their defensive limitations? It's a lot going on.
I guess the skill sets of our players are so dynamic in turn. You know, like you said, it's very difficult for a coach. You know, you may need a little bit of offensive fluidity, a little bit of playmaking. So do you go with Moutier, but he's not going to give you the scoring punch of a Burke where, you know, you need that scoring. We're down by, you know, 8-10 points down that stretch. You need Burke in there, but you need defense. You know what I'm saying? So it's tough, man. It's tough for this coach, for real, man.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think about Burke, man? 30-plus points off the bench. You know, the Pelican game seemed to have energized him. You know, he's saying all the good things. He was in the doghouse for a little bit. But what do you think about Burke, man?
Oh, he played great. I mean, it's like he's rediscovered something. You know, it's kind of funny because, like, it seemed like this time last week, when I was on here last week, he came in and he played a pretty good game against the Magic a week ago. And then that game on Wednesday, he didn't even touch the floor, which is very peculiar. And in these last two games, it's like he hasn't missed a beat. You know, he's been scaling up better and better. It's starting to remind me a lot of last year. You know, and he was just such an offensive force out there. I don't think he's necessarily looking to distribute quite as much as last year. At least it doesn't look that way. It seems like but it might just be he's trying to prove himself, you know, to earn spot sort of thing, where when you're in that mentality, you're more likely, I think, to look for your own shot when you're fighting for minutes. So than last year, when he was just kind of earning his way up the ladder, and he started off as like a G leaguer, you know, whatever. This year he came in probably with more expectations for himself, so then to get those DMPs, probably little bit of a different attitude under him, you know. So, but I thought he was great. I mean, he was penetrating, scoring. He's doing all the things that you want Trey Burke to do at his best.
Yeah.
Finishing around the rim, you know, finishing near the rim, drawing fouls, shooting with efficiency. I mean, he was shooting from mid-range a bunch, but he hit a couple threes also. That's That's certainly worth noting. You know, it was just all in all like a really, really good game. He only hit one three, but
yeah.
He was taking threes and he was looking confident taking them, which I think is important. Even if he doesn't make all of them, he's taking them in rhythm, which is good to see that he wasn't falling back on that mid-range shot quite so much.
Bad.
So I thought it was about as good of a game as you could possibly want out of him.
Yeah,
really, really
agreed, especially off the bench when we needed it. I feel like back to being I feel like in the beginning of the season when we had him thrusted in as a starter, he was more worried about, you know, facilitating, getting guys involved. But I think we're seeing that's not his skill set. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, that's not it. So on, you know, on the positive side, you know, he gives us his solid offensive contributions. On the negative side, we see that the team only has a total of 12 assists on the night, and, you know, the playmaking, you know, ball movement, facilitating point guard, is just not a strength. We just don't have that as a strength right now. You know, Moutier tries to be that guy. And I think he still has the best tools of the three, but he's, you know, obviously he's not that good.
Yeah. Yeah, Moutier is going to be up and down, you know. I thought during that Pelicans game, he played easily the best game he's played.
Yeah, with zero so far. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was so peculiar, you know, because it's not like he was stopping the ball that game or anything. Like, Moutier definitely looks to get the ball moving. So does Trey.
Yeah.
So does Frank to a fault, you know what I mean? Frank looks to get the ball moving at the expense of himself constantly.
Right.
But it's just a matter of finding the right guy to strike the proper balance. I think all in all, like, Burke definitely has distributor in him. You know what I mean? Like, it's something that he does look to do.
Yeah.
I just think lately it's just hasn't been the first thing on his mind, mostly because of the environment that's kind of been around the starting lineup for the Knicks lately, where it's very much like a cutthroat sort of thing where you really got to work for your spot right now.
Dog eat dog out there, man. You got to, you know, you got to just go to your strengths, man. Just go to your strengths.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones. My guy Max from the Bronx wants to talk about the lineups. Max, what's going on, man? How you feeling, bro?
Alex, CP, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Yo.
You know, I'm angry, man. I'm not in a good mood, man. You know.
What's your gripe? Who's your gripe for tonight,
Max? I'm gonna tell you what my real gripe is, right? So I told you about, like, Sunday, you know, I'm off Sunday, so I have extracurricular activities planned on Sunday, if you understand what I'm trying to tell you, because I know this is a kid's show, right? And I said, let me not do this because my Knicks are playing, and I'm a real Knicks fan, and I turn on the TV just to see them give up 45 points in the first quarter, and the reason why you took out Frank and Dot is because they got off to slow starts, and this is what your new starting lineup is doing? I mean, he doesn't make sense. He doesn't make sense. What is it? Is it eat what you kill? Is it defense first? Which one is it? Because I don't know which one it is.
It's getting to be a little confusing, man. It's getting to be a little confusing.
Okay.
I mean, how do you balance the lineup, Max, in terms of offense?
I'm gonna tell you. I'm so glad you're asking that. That's why you are the number one host on the internet right now when it comes to this, because you're gonna ask me the right question. It's simple. Frank at the one, Dot at the two, Hardaway at the three, Knox at the four, Mitchell at the five. Balance of offense and defense. Perfect. Frank and Dot, that game was going to be like a 35-point blowout if Frank and Dot did not come in that game. They changed that game completely based on defense. Completely based on defense. So defense is obviously very important. You cannot keep giving up 129 points. I don't care if this is a new NBA. You got to stop somebody.
Yeah.
No, you have
to stop
somebody.
The first quarter was abysmal. The first quarter is absolutely abysmal.
And my thing is this. Scoring is cool. Scoring is great. Obviously, you need to score to win. You need to score more points than other teams. But I have to admit this. Burke played really well. He really did, okay? But predictably, at the end, he started missing shots. He didn't know what to do after that. He didn't think, okay, I'm getting tired. Let me pass the ball. Let me do something else. And that's my problem with Burke. If he's scoring, he's very
you want him on your team. If he's not scoring, I can't stand watching him play. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same thing with Trier. You can't have Trier in the starting lineup. He doesn't know what to do. He's thinking scoring first. You have three other scorers there, four other scorers there. He's not gonna do well there.
Yeah, on the ISO point, Alan, let me know what you think. I think if we talk about solely trying to win games, right? I mean, there's two different factions of Knicks fans right now. There's ones like Max that's trying to win these games. And then you got the people that's like, whatever, you know, whatever the lineup is, it is, you know, tank away.
Mm-hmm.
I think we could dial it back with ISO a little bit, maybe bring him off the bench. I don't really see he's not fitting in this starting rotation experiment that Fizz has us in. And I feel like him and Burke are almost, redundant, basically. What do you think?
Yeah. In a way, sort of. I think Burke is more of a point guard than Trier is. You know, Trier is, I think, closer to Hardaway than he is to, you know, a point guard. You know what I mean? He's a guy who can definitely handle the ball. He has handles for sure, but he's, I don't know if he's necessarily like a guy who put out there as your primary ball handler, at least not if you're trying to make something good happen. I do agree. I think the Trier's best role right now is to come off the bench, and maybe for his whole career, that'll end up being his best role.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to say. It's so early. You know what
Very
I mean?
Early,
it's, yeah. Alex, I don't want to put him in a box, you know.
Yeah.
Alex, CP.
But
what is this thing about? I don't like the fact that, and I hope you guys bring this up after, Canner kind of got sassy with the media. He talking about, he's going to get even more with the dots and the cryptic messages. And
this was after the game, or this was pregame? Because I know pregame he got a little tired.
This is before the game.
Okay, yeah, I did hear that. Yeah. I did hear that, yeah.
So my thing is this. Canter is like 26, 27 years old. You don't have to pacify Canter. You can just show him pick and roll defense, how he plays pick and roll defense. And the thing about Fizdale, he pacified Canter today. He pacified him today. He did. And they had him starting in the third quarter. And, of course, Knicks went down 7 because, you know, there's nobody to stop anybody in the paint, especially someone like him. He's all about self. He's a fake team guy. He's a fake team guy.
Yeah.
He's all about self.
That's a fair point, man, and appreciate the call, Max. Al, you know, Canner, he's I thought he was going to be much more of a leader on this young team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems like he does take the younger guys under his wing. But, again, there's two things at stake here, right? He's an expiring deal. Obviously, he wants to make Max money. I see people all the time talking about, he's going to take a pay cut. He switched agents last year. The only reason you switch agents is because you're trying to get that bag. You're trying to position yourself to get that mega deal that you feel like you earn. Obviously, on the flip side, we're trying to develop players. Development tank going on here. Canner seems to be lashing out a little bit at his lack of playing time. You know, to Max's point, it seems like Fizdale kind of – I don't know. To be honest, I don't really think Fizdale, pacified him tonight. I think Mitch just got into way too much foul trouble, and Canner was producing. So Canner kind of earned those minutes. But what's your take on the whole Canner situation as it stands right now?
I think there's sort of two different Enes Kanters. There is on-court Canter and there's off-court Canter. And off-court Canter is a good dude. He's a little corny, but he seems cool. Off-court Canter seems like a great mentor for the younger players. Like, he seems great at getting the other guys acclimated to NBA life off the court. You know what I mean? Like, dealing with whatever, you know, just camaraderie off the court, you know, going out to different things. You know, if you see, obviously they're all relatively young, but Canter's one of the older guys on the team. And, like, you see something like last night, they all went to go see Creed 2 together. And, like, Canter was, like, the adult in the room, you know what I mean? It was, like, him and Frank, Mitch, Baker, and someone else. You know, he's, like, the big brother taking them out to the movies and crap. But then there's on-court Canter, and on-court Canter has been – at times selfish, very selfish. Like the way that his body language is, the way that he plays the game, it's like he's going after his, and he doesn't really care at who gets in his way or at what expense to the team that comes, as long as he gets his, 18 points, 12 rebounds, whatever. That's his goal every night, is to try to make sure he gets those counting stats.
Yeah.
So it's he hasn't been that beat your chest, pump up bet, that he had been even like last year.
True.
Type of guy to go out there and like really be enthusiastic and get everybody else involved and that sort of thing. And it's just, I don't know, it's weird. He's just been kind of sulky and pouty this year on the court. It's like if things aren't going his way or the team's way, it's like he just looks very despondent. And it's very, very like contrary to how he was last year on the court, when last year he was in many ways a spark plug for all his deficiencies. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a tough call, man, because, it's kind of like human nature kicks in. You have a guy here that's obviously trying to get his money. He's in a contract here. He's a young guy. He's talking all that all-star stuff, blah, blah, blah. And here he is. He loses his minutes to Mitchell Robinson, who is our future center, plays better defense than Canada right now. And, so that's why his playing time has gone down. So I think it's interesting. It's an interesting dynamic. It's going to be interesting to see how they play it going forward. But what do you guys think in the chat? I see some chats going in on Canner's, some opinions on Canner. That is tonight's fan poll. At the top right, you'll see a little eye icon. Click on the icon and vote. What do you guys think we should do for Canner? There's a couple options there. Do you think we should release him? Do you think we should keep him? Should he start? Should he bench? Let us know, man. Let us know in the fan pool what you guys think. We're going to get back to the phones. We got Gene and we got Cash on the line. Real quick, once again, shout out to everybody in the chat. This is Sunday Night Knicks. Shout out to everybody watching on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, Periscope, all that stuff, man. Definitely appreciate the support. If you're new to the chat, give me a hashtag new so we can shout you guys out. Also, if you're watching on the replay and you missed tonight's live, the replay of the live stream will be going on around the clock, starting from 12 midnight, 2 a.m., 6 a.m., 12 noon, and 2 p.m. So I know a lot of you like to get into the chat and watch alongside other Knicks fans, so that's your ability to do so. So if you're watching the replay, you could always catch the replay whenever you want, but if you want to catch it live, once again, you can catch it at those times, 12 a.m., 2 a.m., 6 a.m., 10 a.m., 12 p.m., and 2 p.m. That's all Eastern time, so the live stream will be on repeat. All right, let's go to Gene in the Bronx. He wants to talk about the refs. He says the refs killed us tonight. Gene, what's going on, bro?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How's everybody doing?
Good, man. How you doing, man?
Great. Well, I'm a little upset with the referees. I mean, we got a young team, and we fight, and we scrap. Now, the games that we got blown out, I can understand. We didn't play well in those games. But when we fight and go all in, it's tough to see the refs take the game away from us. Like the Bulls game, when we went into overtime, double overtime, and then they put this guy on the line to win the game with 0.2 seconds on the clock. I think they should let them play that out. Stuff like that, it kills me. Tonight, every time we went to the basket, we got contact, no call. They get touched, it's a foul every time, and one, constantly. And it's tough for us to win close games. That's why we lose so many of them. What's your take on that? Well, how do you feel on the referees? Think they're giving us a fair share or what?
I didn't really see where we were at a disadvantage tonight. But I do think there have been quite a few games where the whistles do seem one-sided, especially on the road. A lot of our rookies obviously don't get those rookie calls. But, we got to get stops, man. We can't, the refs are a part of the game. You know what I'm saying, Al? What's your take? What's your take on the officiating tonight, Al?
Yeah, I think, it's kind of like what you said. We're a young team, you know what I mean? You can never expect to get calls as a young team.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing with the NBA is that it's a benefit of the doubt league, and you don't earn that benefit of the doubt until you've been in the league for a few years.
You got to earn it.
The Knicks, other than Porzingis, don't really have anybody that commands that sort of respect. You know what I mean? They don't have someone like that that is the type of guy that can always get that call when you need it sort of thing. And they're also, as a result, more likely to get called more for things. So it's just one of those unfortunate situations. I mean, the Knicks are going to get bad whistle this whole year. It's just kind of – it's all the part of being the youngest team in the NBA. You know, you got to earn the – just like you got to earn the respect of other teams, you have to earn the respect of the refs in this league too, unfortunately. And it's just kind of how it goes. So I'm not really sweating it. You know what I mean? If the Knicks play – and I kind of always feel this way, unless it's like a playoff game or something. I always feel like if you have to go back and blame the refs, the team probably should have just played better. You know what I mean? It shouldn't even come down to one ref call, you know, for most games. And especially this year, like most of these games, even if we're getting a bad whistle, it's not affecting it that much, I don't think, to the point where it's losing the game.
Okay. And as far as Cantor, as far as Cantor's concerned, I think Cantor should start and, like, because we've been getting off to slow starts offensively. Cantor's going to help us score points. So I feel like Mitch should come in. Fizdale can pick his spots when he brings in, Mitchell to kind of solidify the middle. But I think Cantor's offense is needed with us starting off so slow offensively. That's just my opinion right there for that.
Okay. And Gene, appreciate the call, brother. Make sure you call in another time.
Yes, sir. You guys stay up.
Appreciate it, Gene. Appreciate it.
Thanks, bro.
I think the thing is, right, we've been losing with Cannon starting. We lose with Cannon off the bench. I mean, I think, we're just not a good team. So I don't think there's a right or a wrong way to handle the lineup in terms of him starting or not. But, to Gene's point, starting him will maybe, alleviate some of the issues we have, especially in moving the ball. You know, we're not good at moving the ball.
Yeah.
Only 12 assists tonight. Obviously, he's a black hole in the paint. So, if you want to keep up the offensive pace, him starting would be it. But he's also going to give up as much as he puts up.
So that's the biggest problem, right? It's like, he's sure it put him in. Maybe he'll score a few more points, for the team early on. But he's such a defensive liability. It's like. You saw it, you've seen it in almost every game lately. The second he gets in the game, it's just the other team is just going to attack him and pick and roll like over and over and over and over again, and it's just everybody has the book on him. Everybody knows that he doesn't particularly care on the defensive end. So you take your lumps with him on offense and then you just get it back at least 1.5 times as much on the other end, It's just the reality of it, unfortunately.
Yep, that's it, man. True indeed. But 5-game losing streak, we got to get off the snide, man. Got to get off the snide. Shout out to everybody in the chat. Timmy J70, hashtag new, shout out Timmy. Let's go to the other new people. Tariq F. Master, shout out Tariq. He's new to the chat. Shout out everybody in the chat tonight, man. Big Shaq, SS Television. Sid Leonard, welcome to the chat, Sid Leonard. Dow, Texas. We got Caleb Millender in here. A lot of new people in here tonight. Father Peace in here. So salute to everybody that's in here tonight. If you haven't already subscribed to the channel, make sure you hit that subscribe button below and the notification bell so you don't miss the next post-game live. Well, welcome to all the new people. All right, let's go back to the phones. Cash from Queens, he wants to talk about the development of the young player. Cash, what's going on, man? You're live right now.
Yeah. What's up, CP? How you doing, Al?
How you doing, man?
Yep.
Good. I just want to talk 2 points. My first point is, sorry to say to all the Knicks fans out there, but a game like this is a recipe for success. I mean, a recipe for a loss every time, because honestly, in the NBA, if your offense is going to run through Trey Burke or Tim Hardaway, most of the time tonight was Trey Burke, teams are going to let you have that. All night. The mid-range 2-pointers, teams will let you see, as you can see, off the pick and rolls, they didn't double him. They didn't try to trap him. They let him have every shot, and it looked like it was a good, but it was actually hurting us. How do you feel? How you guys feel about that? Then I'll go into our next point.
Yeah, I mean, I think for one thing, no other team in the NBA is doing what we're doing right now, right? No other team in the NBA is mismatching lineups, mismatching starting lineups, you know, throwing in different guys, and there's no cohesion, there's no chemistry naturally there, right? So that's why I say, Al, that this is an extended training camp, right? You're still trying to evaluate individual players over winning more so. I'm not trying to say that they're trying to tank intentionally, but like I keep saying, it's a development tank because you keep going with, you know, this guy's in, this guy's out, this guy's in, that guy's out.
Yeah.
Trey had the hot hand tonight. Obviously, you know, he is what he is, right? And on this team, he is one of the best offensive players that we have on the team. So he had it going tonight. I didn't see the issue with him being out there. But at the same time, you need a guy like Frank out there to play some defense. So it's a tough call for the coach, man. Tough call.
And then with that saying, how does that help development based on tonight's offense? Because how does that develop or not? If you're talking about developing this year, what we perpetrate tonight, how does that develop a Knox? How does that develop a Dotson? How does that develop a Mitch Robinson on the pick and roll, pick and pop? How does this offense, which, you know, everybody clams for Burke to be in there because of what he does, how does him or Tim Hardaway, even the offense that they run, the down screens for Tim Hardaway almost on every second or third possession, how does that offense develop the players? If you're talking about developing this year, like I agree with Max. I agree with that lineup, with the Knox, Mitchell, and Tim at the front with Frank and Dot in the backcourt. Because now you could, you know, in that offense, you can get Tim off. You could also try to get Knox off. You could also, you know, get Dotson off, pick and rolls with Frank, with Mitchell. And then obviously, because we already know what kind of player Zoe is, we already kind of know what Burke is. So the ceiling development is no more further than what it is. So if we're developing this year, stick to that lineup that Max said. I agree with that. And develop that. Just develop. Go through the ups, the downs, the goods, the bads, the ugly with that lineup.
So
it's development. Because how does that offense night two? How do you implement KP if he comes back? Say he comes back this year. That offense cannot work with KP. So I have a lot of issues with, like, I agree with CP. No blame is on Fizdale. He's working with what he got. But if he's saying develop, that's just fully develop the full play, young players.
What do you think in terms of the offense? And, you know, we see like a lot of lack of pick and roll. Do you think it's the coach is not running it enough, or do you think the players just aren't executing enough?
I think in certain situations like tonight where there's just no offense being generated, I think there's definitely a tendency with this team to kind of just start force feeding whoever the hot hand is.
Yeah.
And I think that, and then everybody else kind of stands around and watches. You know what I mean?
Right.
That kind of happened with Burke tonight and Hardaway at times because they were both pretty hot tonight. I mean, they both had over 30 points. It happens with those two. It happens with Trier sometimes. It happens, you know, with whoever the hot hand is.
He stays with it.
Yeah, but I think that that's a byproduct of being a young team. You know, they're still learning that, like, you can't just keep force feeding the hot hand necessarily, you know.
Exactly.
It works to a degree, but then the guys get tired, you know what I mean? And once they get tired, then it's to the detriment of the team to keep feeding them the ball. And they need to work on figuring out when to identify that. As far as the offensive sets goes and like how they're developing players and stuff, I mean, it's easy to say like, oh, I wish they would have given Knox more shots tonight. Oh, I wish they would have drawn more plays for Frank tonight or whoever it is, you know, Dotson, whatever. But the reality is that none of them were shooting all that great tonight, you know. So it's kind of difficult. Like Fizdale is still trying to put on at least a little bit of the impression that he's trying to win these games.
Right.
And if you are trying to win the games, you have to go to the guys that are working. You know, it's like that's kind of part of development too. Is that these guys kind of have to earn their way to becoming a featured option. You can't force it. You know, you can't force Frank Ntilikina to be a number one option or a number two or three option, you know, that's going to be able to get you buckets down the stretch. He's just going to have to learn to do that, you know. And I think that a lot of that is going to happen in practice. A lot of that probably happens, you know, behind closed doors that we don't see. At least I hope so. You know, I hope that that's how things are going. But it's difficult.
Yeah.
You know, it's exactly like you were saying. You know, it's hard. It's a hard balance to strike. Yeah. You know, when you're trying to develop these guys versus trying to actually, you know, at least act like you're trying to win the game, you know, it's tough. But I think all in all, they're doing all right. They just need to fall out of the trappings of feeding the hot hand to a fault. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Well, Cash, I don't know, man. I guess you could always settle for Kemba, man. You want Kemba here next year? You just dropped 60 last night, man. Kemba was the hot topic last night, man, this morning too.
When I think about adding in players, I always think about my number one option, obviously, this summer is KD. I always think about players that's going to work well with KP. Kemba, there's a chance that he could work with KP, but he's another player. When his hand gets hot, he goes. He's just going to keep gunning. And then if we still have Knox on the team, how do you get Knox involved? Because I thought that going after the summer league, watching the summer league, I thought that Fizz was going to get, obviously Tim is our number one option. I thought he was going to go focus more on Knox being our number two. Like, if you have them two running off down screens or have them two running pick and roll, pick and pop kind of plays, you know what I'm saying? That gives the offense a little bit more open, more flow. It gives Knox touches. He gets comfortable instead of just standing in the corner, or every time he gets the ball, he has to set a screen because he want to get his shots off because he believes he's a scorer too as well. So I'm all about development. The wins and the losses, I'm with you, CP. The wins and the losses, being competitive, I'm down with all that. But number one thing is development. It's development. Right. So play the players that you got to develop. But have a good night, CP. Al, good. Have a good night too, JLS. I know you off, but it's a long season, man. You guys keep up the good work. Y'all doing well, man.
Long season, man. Cash, appreciate you, brother. Call back next
time. Thank you.
Shout out JLS. Sundays, he takes Sundays off to do his podcast, you know, Nick of Time show and all that. Mm-hmm. But whatever, man. We got Alex Wolf in the building. You know, the team is strong, nevertheless. but shout out JLS, man, and shout out Al for coming through. Oh man, what are we? What's our record? 4-13, 5-game streak. I mean, Magic, give credit where credit is due. They're 9-8. They had some fairly impressive wins these past couple of games. You know, Vucevic is a problem, man.
Yeah, they're playing well, man. I mean, they're gonna finally look like a team that might be ready to start exiting rebuilding mode. You know, finally start being a team that can maybe make playoffs. Did you realize Vucevic almost had a triple-double tonight?
I did not.
I was just looking at the stats. He had 9 assists tonight. I did not realize that while I was watching the game.
Yeah,
28 and 9.
He almost had more assists than the Knicks.
yeah, my God. He had the Knicks had 12. He had 9.
Jesus,
that's pretty bad.
We need a point guard, man. We need a point guard for real, man. It's tough.
Yep.
It's tough. What are you going to do, man? What are you going to do? I'll see what's going on in the chat. Shout out everybody in the chat. The Gooch in here, he says we should focus on AD the summer after next. That'll be a beautiful thing, man. Shout out Anthony Davis. T. Williams, what's going on? Ace Bezel says Vucevic busted Cannon's ass. Yeah, he sure did. He definitely did. Another guy, I mean, Vucevic is coming on late, you know, from where he was drafted. Jonathan Isaac. You know, people were writing him off as early as this year. He just got in, but he started killing us in that third and fourth quarter, man. And, of course, Aaron Gordon, you know, some leaders.
You know, Isaac is a good person to look at for those that are kind of skeptical about Frank. You know, he's drafted in the same general range, same general skill set, rangy dude, you know, lengthy dude. And obviously he's more of a small forward, power forward. Frank's more of a whatever he is, point guard through small forward type player. But similar knocks on their game, you know, going into the draft and stuff that, you know, they're mostly defensive players. It's going to take a while for them to fill out, for them to, you know, get their offense right, you know, to start looking for their own shots more, that sort of stuff. So keep an eye on Jonathan Isaac. I mean, it's kind of a similar situation. Obviously, a little different. Like I said, they don't play the same position. So Frank has the point guard learning curve as well, because ideally you're trying to make him into a point guard. But two players that are kind of winding through similar NBA paths to their first two seasons.
True indeed. Ace says, how much did Aaron Gordon finish with? Aaron Gordon finished with, killed us off.
31.
31. 13 of 17 shooting. 31 points plus 13 on the night. He crushed us in 29 minutes, man. Crushed us. Absolutely crushed us, man. Aaron Gordon. Jeez.
Can we talk about Leslie Iwundu for a second? He finished a plus 21.
Plus 21.
With two points. With 2 points.
Yeah, that's
2 points,
I've never
two
seen that. I've never seen that before, man. I never even heard of Wesley Iwundu. Sheesh. Everybody.
I mean, there's a similar story on the Knicks. On the Knicks box score tonight, Frank with 0 points, 2 boards, 2 assists, and a steal, and a plus 10.
Plus 10 for Frank. Oh, shit, we might as well get into the player ratings, man. Let's get into it. That's an unusual score for Frank. But like I said, I think on the defensive end, and, you know, he was obviously a much-needed player out there for us. It's just that offensively, we're just not getting a lick out of this dude. Pause.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Frank is just not, I don't know, man. He's just lost his confidence or something, man. Something is just not working with this guy, man.
Yeah, it's weird. And, you know, there's the talk about, it came out this week, you know, that he's apparently dealing with not one but two strained shoulders, quote unquote. I don't.
Frank?
Yeah, yeah.
How the hell you strain your shoulder when you're not doing anything?
I don't know. I mean, and the thing too is that strained is such like a BS medical term. You know, like it's a strain could literally be anything from like your arm is feeling a little sore to like you nearly ripped a tendon. You know what I mean? That could be like anything. So it's tricky, you know. But I think that's why he can wear that tape on his shoulders and stuff.
Oh,
it's,
yeah.
But like. I don't know if it's that that's holding him back. I think it's between his ears, though. I think you're right. I think
it's
confidence.
It's the pressure in New York, the weight on his shoulders. That's all that is.
Yeah, he's got the yips a little bit. He's aiming his shots, as Fide would say. You know, he's definitely having a rough go of it right now.
He's got the weight on his shoulders, man. We're gonna get to Omar and Will in a little bit, but let's go to the player ratings real quick, Al. I think. I mean, obviously, 3 stars of the night, my typical 3 stars of the night segment. I think it's pretty obvious tonight. I would go with my third star. I would go with Tim Hardaway Jr. 32 points, 3 steals, 2 dimes, 9 of 20 shooting. I would go with Cantor as the second star. 21 points, 19 rebounds. Gave us a much-needed lift off the bench. And my first star tonight got to go to Trigger, man. You know, much maligned in the doghouse, coming off of 2 DMPs, has 2 excellent performances against the Pelicans and against the Magic tonight. 31 points, 2 steals, 2 assists for Trigger. And those are my 3 stars, man. What'd you think? Would you go with those same 3 or going a little different?
I'll go with the same 3. You know, it was a pretty pretty cut and dry night on the box score, you know what I mean? And even on the court. I think I would probably flip flop Cantor and Hardaway. I always tend to make how Hardaway plays a little more than how Cantor plays.
Yeah.
Cantor, like I said, I mean, this might be like one of those deals where like I'm projecting a little bit on how I feel about Cantor all the time by downgrading him 1 star, but he's definitely the 3rd. I think Hardaway was the 2nd, and Trey was definitely the 1st. I mean, he's, no doubt.
Yeah.
He was the guy. He gets the game ball tonight. He was dynamite tonight.
What's your rating on Trey tonight? 1 to 10. What do you give him Trey tonight? 1 to 10.
Man, I always gotta tiptoe around this now. I'm gonna go with let's see. I'll give him I'm gonna give him an 8. You know what? Because He almost inspired a really big comeback from 18 down at one point. He was on off feeling it all game. You know, even when he cooled off a little bit, he was still pretty damn good tonight. Yeah. I give him a solid 8 out of 10 tonight.
Yeah, man. What do you guys in the chat give Trey Burke tonight? 1 to 10. I give him an 8. I think I give all 3 of them an 8 between Cantor, Timmy, and Burke. My scoring, I don't give 10s unless it's just a crazy, crazy performance and a win. 9s, I typically get for a win. And I think they earned 8s. I think all 3 of them earned 8s, even though we didn't get the W tonight, man. Would you change Timmy or Canna from an 8 now? What do you think?
I'll also give Tim an 8. I'll give Canner a 7.5, just again for bias.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, that so. Canna gets a downgrade. His defense, obviously, in the stretch. You know, Vucevic ate his lunch.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? Yeah. Yeah, and that's always the case. And, you know, even there was one or two of them. There wasn't so many of it that it was, like, egregious or anything. But there was one or two of those situations tonight, again, where Canna was going so reckless trying to get a rebound that he didn't, like, protect the ball, bringing it back down and stuff like that. And he got stripped on one of those. That was the one where he got tied up with Isaiah Briscoe.
Yeah,
Briscoe.
Yeah.
Local product. I should remember his name. He's from
indeed.
New Jersey. He got tied up with him after he kind of, like, the ball down was loosey-goosey with it. And then there was another one late in the game where he was going up for a board and it, like, bounced off and went out of bounds or whatever. Just kind of those little boneheaded canter going towards ones. Yeah.
Yeah. So. In between the ears, for sure, man. What do you guys think of the chat, man? What's your ratings 1 to 10 for Canna and Tim Hardaway Jr.? Delano says he gives Timmy a 6. I mean, I thought Timmy gave us a spark in the third, man. He kept it close in the third. You know, I thought Timmy played fairly well.
Some people, just like I was just saying with how I have my, like, built-in dislike to Canter in many ways.
Some
I think
got
a lot of people have that.
Timmy.
Yeah. Man, Tim could be in the middle of dropping, you know, an efficient 30 points, and there's going to be people that are ragging
still
on
him. Still not happening.
Happening.
You know.
Yeah.
Delano gives Canna a 6. Delano, tough score for Delano. Weakinson Cherry says he gives Canna 8.5. Okay. All right. Not too bad.
Yeah.
You got to get some W's in here, man. Definitely got to get some W's.
Yeah.
Definitely get some W's. Let's go. Go ahead.
I think they're going to be few and far between.
Yeah.
The W.
Gary
Singh. It's feeling more and more like that.
It's going to be a long one, man. Above the Rims gives Timmy an 8. Keith Sinclair, Timmy a 7. Above the Rim, 7 for Canna. Sherwin McKenzie gives Tim a 5. Oh, Sherwin, that's who you're talking about right there, man. That's Sherwin right there. He gives Tim a 5. The Gooch says Knox looks lost. I don't know. Is that just his look? Or what do you think, man? What are we going to do with Kevin, man?
I think he's a little, I don't know if lost is the right word. Maybe a little bit, that's the right word. I mean, you hate to say it because you want him to succeed, but he's definitely going through his rookie stuff. You got to consider, like, he's a solid, 6-7 games, whatever he missed. He's behind the curve right now. You know, he's still playing catch up from, you know, having his ankle hurt for the first, you know, from the third game through whatever game he came back, the 10th, 11th, I don't know. I think he's coming along, you know what I mean? It's going to be a development process with him. He's so young, you know, he was pretty raw coming in. He showed some scoring ability, but he definitely needs some polish on the defensive end and learning how to play defense.
Yeah.
More so than anything, but you see flashes.
Big time.
You see flashes with him, things that he already does in an NBA level. Like, once a shot starts falling, he's already pretty good at getting open.
Yeah.
He's gotten quite a few open looks from three and stuff. He's just not canning them, you know. So once that comes around, that's good. He's already kind of a beast in transition, you know, like the one-man break. He's already pretty good at that. So it'll all come around, you know. Of course, he looks lost. He's a rook. You know, it comes with the territory.
Yeah.
Except for the exceptional few that come in and tear the league up right away. Rookies almost always look lost right away.
Takes time. You know, you look at, I mean, De'Aaron Fox, he's taking a leap. But, you know, that's one guy I think of between last year and this year. He's taking a huge leap.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's pretty dominant. You know, obviously Donovan Mitchell, you know, caught the league by storm last year. It's going to be interesting, man. Maybe it'll be Zion for us next year, man. I don't know, man.
I sure hope so, man.
Could be a Zion move next year, man. Could be a Zion.
Zion, Barrett, Reddish, whatever. I don't care.
Whoever, man.
Someone awesome.
Facts.
Someone awesome. I want.
Bring it on, man. All right, let's go back to the phones. Who we got on the line? We got Omar from Manhattan. He wants to talk about Fizz and the development of the young players. Omar, what's going on, bro?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I actually just wanted to talk about the lineups and the rotations that Fizdale's doing. I know you guys are saying it's a extended training camp, but the truth is, like, it's kind of uneven and it's a little hypocritical in the sense that the rotations are so inconsistent. He sometimes, you know, scraps them and switches it up at halftime. If it's about development and developing the young guys, you know, you got to stick to, you know, at least a couple consistent five-man rotations, you know, throughout a game and through several games and get a real feel for it, you know, shuffling it in and out. I think that's why you're seeing, you know, the lack of ball movement, the lack of player movement, because five-man rotations are not, and the five-man lineups are so inconsistent that these guys aren't familiar with one another. They haven't developed a rhythm with one another. There's no chemistry. You don't see, forget just ball movement. You don't see players moving because it looks like they're stepping on each other's toes like it's the second game of preseason still because they're not getting consistent time together. And when you put, you know, varying different five-man groups, you see, you know, a 19-year-old kid like Knox get lost because he's like, oh, well, I've never played with these guys. You know, I played with a different four, you know, to start the half in earlier in the game or last game, and I don't know where I'm going to get my touches. And you mix that fact with the fact that you have, you know, half these teams are babies. And like I commented after the Pelican game, like some of these guys haven't even gone through puberty. And the other half are these guys on one-year deals looking to play for a contract and fighting for minutes. So yeah, I think it kind of clashes with development.
Yeah, it clashes. Definitely. I agree, man. Al, is this not a development tank, man? This is a development tank, man. I don't know if this is going to work.
It is, yeah.
I'm not sure.
It's just a tank.
Sure,
it's not a development tank because I think it's counterproductive.
You said it's kind of productive, Omar?
It's counterproductive. I don't even think it's a development tank because at the same time, Fizdale's like, well, you know, these lineups aren't winning. And, you know, those were his exact quotes. So he's like, I'm shuffling it around until I find something I like 25 games in. But, you know, teams take a whole season or even two seasons sometimes to develop chemistry. And he scraps lineups after one game.
Yeah.
I just want to know what you guys thought. Like, if you really think it's being counterintuitive.
Al, what do you think?
I don't think it's necessarily counterintuitive. I mean, the reality is that you have so many. It's like I call it like getting. It's not quite Thanksgiving yet, but getting towards the Christmas spirit. It's the Island of Misfit Toys, you know, that we have on this roster. It's a lot of guys that were flameouts, you know, that like Hezonja, Moutier, maybe not even flameouts. Was there even a flame?
Hezonja didn't even get any burn on his homecoming, man.
No.
Yeah, and watch when they shuffle him. Once they shuffle the lineup back in, you'll see. He'll probably jack up just the way Cantor is, you know, trying to get his minutes back.
Oh, yeah. Hezonja's shooting. You know that. You know that much, man.
Yeah.
Playing for a contract.
Yeah. But to answer your question, I mean, some of you guys are obviously playing for a contract. Some are on their Knicks deals already, and they're here for a few years, like on their rookie contract. But there's that balance all over the league. You know what I mean? Look no further than, say, like the Lakers last year. You know what I mean? The Lakers were in kind of a similar spot to what we're in this year, last year, where they were hoping we were a big free agent. Obviously, LeBron, I'm not going to pretend like the Knicks are going to get necessarily Durant or something like that. But the way the Lakers were set up last year was very similar to how the Knicks are this year, where it was a bunch of young guys and a bunch of guys on one-year contract. All in all, I don't necessarily think it hampered the development of those Lakers guys last year. To have guys.
I totally agree.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think the fact that the lineups are inconsistent. You know, Walton stuck with Lonzo Ball all last year. Mm-hmm. He played Ingram consistent minutes, and the rotations were consistent throughout the year. Remember how bad Lonzo mm-hmm. Ball was in the beginning of the year? He was shooting like 20% from three and 28% overall, mm-hmm. but he stuck with them and let him take his lumps. I feel like, you know, if a kid has, you know, Frank has a bad half, or if Knox has a bad couple minutes, you know, he can, you know, goes away from them from a quarter and then we'll switch the lineups around. And I understand you want to keep guys accountable, but if you're trying to develop them, I think you kind of have to stick with at least a few, you know, staple five-man groups so that they can grow familiar with one another and then you can see something that you lean on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. And Omar, appreciate the call, man. Good call. Appreciate
it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. And to build on his point there, I do agree with what he's saying. I mean, at a certain point, Fizz is going to have to kind of hammer this in. You know what I mean? It seems like he's been like, to make a weird reference, he's been like hammering in the nail, you know, starting it, deciding he doesn't like where it is, pulling it out, you know, ripping it back out, starting another nail, nailing it halfway down, ripping it back out. Eventually, he's got to just kind of put that nail all the way in, be like, okay, this is what we're doing, how we're going to do it, this is who's going to start. And, you know, barring some crazy circumstance, like we're not going to change the starting lineup and everybody has the role now. I guess we'll see when we get there. You know, he's been pretty good. He's been pretty good, honestly, with following through on what he said as far as these numbers a game type thing.
Yeah.
Like he said, okay, I'm going to look at this lineup for five games, then I might reevaluate. He did that after the first five games of the year. Then he said, okay, well, this one we're going to go about five games, and we're going to reevaluate. And he did that again. And then now he's kind of on this point where he's like, we're going to take it almost game by game at this point until we get to about 20 to 25 games.
Right.
And once we get to that point, then I'll lock things in. So
okay,
I'll give him benefit of the doubt through about 25th game. And if he doesn't nail it down by then maybe we start being like, look, man, you gotta give these guys a role and make them stop fighting. It's almost like infighting right now, you know, not like personal, like jawing at each other, but it's infighting for playing time, you know, because everybody's just trying to earn a spot.
Yeah.
And nobody knows what their spot is.
I guess that's keep what you kill, right? I don't know, man.
Yep.
Yeah. I guess.
That only goes so far, though. At a certain point, you have to decide on these people and be like, you've killed enough. Now you may just keep it.
True. Yeah. Now you shall keep. Yeah, man. we'll see, man. It's the ups and downs of a rebuild, you know? We'll see what happens. But shout out Omar. Thanks for the call. Ricardo Custer agrees with Omar. He says that's facts. Reaper Man also agreed with him. Shout out everybody in the chat, wherever you guys are watching from, YouTube, Twitch, Periscope, Facebook, all that good stuff, man. If you guys are new and I missed you guys earlier, give me a hashtag new so we could shout you guys out. Smash that thumbs up button. If you guys are enjoying this stream, just smash that thumbs up button. That's the best way to support the channel. Subscribing to the channel, sharing it with your fellow Knicks fan. Super chats always welcome, but most importantly, just smash that thumbs up and continue to participate, and that way the videos get promoted on YouTube, and we get more Knicks fans here, we get more Knicks fans in the chat, and more Knicks fans calling in, so that's how all that works. All right, let's go to Will from Long Island. He wants to talk about Cannon. Will, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, CP? What's going on, Alex? How y'all doing?
Good, man. How you feeling?
Yo,
good. Listen, this is what I want to put up because I saw the last stream and it seemed like you were really ticked off with Canna. It seemed like you got a really short fuse and a really short lease when it comes to him, right? The only reason, and at this point, y'all can say, because I've been looking for a fan club to join, so I'll be officially part of the Keep Anna's Cancer fan club, you know. With me and Jay Ellis, I'll be officially part of that. But overall, what did you think about Cannon's defense overall tonight?
I mean, I thought it was still spotty, you know. Aaron Gordon still did what he wanted to do. Vucevic still beasted. It wasn't great. You know what I'm saying?
Are you completely closed off for the fact that Cannon can at least be respectable when it comes to his defense? Because it just seems as the games go on and on that he wants to get back into the starting lineup. You know, Mitch, I love him. He's going to be our future. I love Mitch overall. But we keep seeing every game that these starts are slow and they're sluggish. No matter what you want to say about Canada, he is a go-to guy that you can always run a play for. You can always get those points in, you know. And even if you want to, like, pull him early at the beginning of quarters, just if you don't like him, at least give him the start so he can try to give us a fighting chance come every, you know, first quarter. That's how I feel like. And then look at tonight. He can put these points up regularly, coming off the bench or starting. So I feel like if we had these points starting off a game, that we overall would be better off, you know. And I still support Mitch, and I know that he's going to be our future. But when it comes to points, Mitch just doesn't have it at this point.
No, you're right in that, you know, Canada does bring offense, but at the same time, you know, I feel like whether starting off the bench, you know, he could still bring that that impact. The only reason why, yeah, he would come off as more of an asset starting is because we don't have that many options right now. We don't move the ball well. You know, Timmy's our primary scoring off option in, as a starter. And, you know, we got off to slow starts on offense. So, obviously, bringing in a Canner who's going to be a rebound and points a double-double guy, yeah, that will help. But if he's giving up equally as much in the paint, at some point we got to get stops, man. I mean, now what's your take on?
Yeah, I feel about the same. I mean, I was going to say, to answer the earlier question of, like, am I totally convinced at this point that Canter can't get better on defense? I kind of think yes, which, like, I hate to say, because it's weird, right? I was talking to someone about this the other day, and I said it's kind of a weird thing that Canter and Tim Hardaway Jr. are almost the same age, and yet I feel like a lot more hope that Tim is going to add things to his game than I do with Canter, because Tim just seems to care more about adding things and getting better at stuff, whereas
right.
Canter just seems like he just continually wants to get better at what he's already good at, you know, and defense isn't one of those things, and he just doesn't seem to put that much effort into it, you know.
I mean, that's fine, too, man. Every player is not going to be a good two-way player on both ends, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But with him, it's like it's not even respectable, his defense.
Yeah, no, it's he's best, like, maybe average, and that's on, like, his best night, and at worst, he's, like, unplayable on defense. You know, it's just awful. It's like a turnstile. You know,
that's just my
opinion.
But. Yeah, and I agree. And the thing is with Canada, Will, and you're right. I did get on him in the last show because I don't like the energy that he's bringing to the team. I thought we got rid of that. We kicked Noah out of here. I didn't like that. That's not necessary. It's not whatever it means. It may mean a bad thing. It may mean a good thing. I don't care. It's bringing negative attention to the team in a market where, you know, the media feasts on that. You know, it's a cesspool. They feast on negative energy. Like, I don't even want to say that word because it affects me. You know what I'm saying? That's my whole thing about Canada.
All right. I respect y'all's opinions. I respect it. Yeah. But either way, anytime y'all want to get these hats into the, you know, Canada fan club, we got room. We got a lot of room. So, you know.
I don't know, man. People in the chat are not with that. They're not with the Canada fan club. They told me to boo you. The chat, Knicks Nation, is not happy about the Canada fan club, man. So we have to boo you, Will. But appreciate the call.
We're going to keep it strong. Y'all have a good one. Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, man,
take care, y'all.
Peace.
All right.
Have a good one.
Yeah, but the chat was not. The chat wasn't feeling Will on the Canada fan club, man.
I mean, I don't blame him. You know, I could see where some people enjoy parts of his game, though. You know, especially if you're a fan of, like, the old school brand of basketball on offense. I mean, he does do some great stuff. You know, it's so difficult to reconcile that with the stuff that he doesn't do on the other end. You know,
facts. Facts. Let's see what the chat says about Canner. Let's see what the chat says. Louis Leon says he's terrible at best. CH says every team knows Canner in the pick and roll, and you got him. This is the problem. Yeah, that's true, man. It's a chess game, and that is Canner's Achilles heel. The Gooch says Canner won't be here next year anyway. That's my point as well. Swiss Cheese D, T. Williams about Canner. Swiss Cheese D. SS Television says Canner plays defense like Neo in the Matrix. Reaper Man says Mitch and Canner should start together. What do you think about that? If you start Mitch and Canner together, I'm not sure if that works.
I don't know. I mean, I don't really think it would. I think in some ways it wouldn't be too different than when you start Mitch and Vonleh together.
Right.
I think the Vonleh is kind of like a. kind of like a version of Cantor that isn't quite as good on offense, but is definitely better on defense and about his equal as far as rebounding goes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a weird balance you might strike there. Like maybe Mitch would be able to cover up for some of Cantor's weaknesses, but the reality is that Mitch would be the guy that would get pulled out to the perimeter and Cantor would still be stuck in the middle, defending anyway. So, and then Mitch would be trying to have to run in and help and, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas like Vonley, you know, can hold his own in the middle if Mitch gets pulled outside and vice versa. You know, you wouldn't have that same security blanket with Cantor. So I don't know how well it would work. I don't know if maybe Mitch is enough on defense to counteract Cantor. I don't think Mitch is there yet, because I think Mitch would fall into some of the trappings that he fell into tonight, and he might end up with foul doubles.
Yeah,
so
some boneheaded fouls by Mitch tonight. But, you know, we figured out that would plague him all season. So that wasn't a surprise to see that with Mitch. I wasn't surprised.
I mean, I've actually been pleasantly surprised with how little Mitch has been fouling thus far. It's been pretty good. So tonight was kind of an outlier, which is good. It hasn't been normal for him.
True indeed, man. Well, we'll see how it goes, man. Knicks go down 130-131. Oof, too much points, man. Got to play some defense. Too much points, man. I'm not used to that, man. 131-117. Knicks go down. We got the Trailblazers on what's that? Wednesday? What's the 20th? So the 20th is
Tuesday.
All right, so we'll be back Tuesday. I'm sure JLS will be back on Tuesday. Al, if you want to jump on Tuesday, man, you're more than welcome to. Once again, shout out everybody in the chat. Smash that thumbs up button for your boys. Subscribe to the channel. Share these videos with your fellow Knicks fan to support. Before we close out, let me get to the charity that we're doing once again. So once again, we partnered up with the Knicks Film School. My guys JB and Jonathan Macri wanted to, you know, one of the things about Knicks Film School, outside of them just being absolute beasts in terms of Knicks content, is they're very big on charitable givings. That's something that I'm very high on as well. So I always try to support them when I can, whenever they do these things. And for Thanksgiving, they are trying to feed some families in the New York City area, some underserved families, less fortunate than us. And they're teaming up with Feeding NYC to fundraise for needy families in NYC. The original fundraising goal was $350. We've blown past that 10 times over. We're now almost at $3,000 to the goal. So I think, you know, as of this morning, that's enough to feed roughly 80 families in New York City. So it's a beautiful thing. And if you guys want to contribute, it doesn't matter what it is, $1, $2, whatever it is, you have until tomorrow to contribute. There's a link going around in the chat. There's also a link going on in the description, in the video description on YouTube. So, and if you're out there on Twitter, if you just go to my page of Posting Toasting Knicks Film School, you'll see the link floating around out there. So you guys can always donate, and you have until tomorrow to do that. So a worthwhile cause. So, you know, if you're able to give, go ahead and do that. All right. Al, man, I'll throw it on to you. Throw the theme music on, man, if you want to close out, promote the show.
All right.
All right, man, it's on you, man.
So first off, just to say again that initiative by JB and Macri and Knicks Film School is amazing.
Yeah.
Please do your part. I think I made an ill-fated attempt to do something cool where I was like, oh, I'm gonna give as many dollars as Frank Ntilikina scores points these next three games.
Yeah, I see people doing that, man. I was like, nah, I'm not doing that, man. I want these people
to eat good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then I switched it to all of his counting stats for three games, but that wasn't so great either. So I'll give like $30. I think everybody should give something. It's awesome. It's very cool. It's great to help people this time of year.
Yeah.
Anyway, to get back to my shameless self promotion.
Well deserved.
My name is Alex Wolf. I write for Posting and Toasting. So check us out at postingandtoasting.com. You can find me on Twitter at TheAlexWolf, or more than likely you can find me on at PTNixBlog. That's the Posting and Toasting handle. And yeah, and then of course you can find me on Knicks Fan TV. Seems like every Sunday now.
Sunday nights, man. Sunday nights with Alex Wolf, man. You know what I mean? Always appreciate you coming on, man. You're a tremendous asset to the show, man. So definitely appreciate you know, a relationship is starting to build with Tosin and Tosin as well.
Yep.
Shout out everybody that came through tonight, Sunday night Knicks. Tough loss. We'll bounce back again. Hopefully you guys will join me back on Tuesday. Probably start about 10 p.m. Knicks versus Blazers. Dame Dallas coming into town. We'll see what happens. Hopefully we can bounce back. But, yeah, man, once again, if you guys just came in late, and if you guys always like to watch the live streams with other people in the chat, the show will be replaying live at 12 midnight, 2 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Eastern, 12 noon, and then 2 p.m. Eastern. So you can always, you know, jump in, jump out. If you want to jump in, you know, talk about the game with your fellow Knicks fans. The chat is always going to be open basically around the clock until half day tomorrow. So, you know, that's just something that we do to give back to you guys because, you know, like I said, we're trying to build a community here. So, once again, man, appreciate everybody for coming through. Keith Sinclair, Above the Rim, CH, James from Flatbush, the Nets fan who comes into the Knicks show. Shout out James from Flatbush. Appreciate the support. Reaper Man, appreciate you. Dubs Revo, Ricardo Custer, shout out to you guys. Jamal Simpson, appreciate it. Quiet Money, Reaper Man. Well, whoever else I forgot, you know, appreciate the support, man. All right, I'll see you guys on Tuesday. Peace. Yep. All right, man. Let me close out the phone lines. All right, man. Early night, thank God. So
yeah. You know, nice. You know, these 6 p.m. starts.